Welcome to our new series of In a Lifetime, and it's time for our first member of royalty. Hers was a voice that defined an entire genre, and by doing so has ensured we will never see her like again. There is a shortlist of artists whose stylistic approach and influence on all who followed remain above all those who did follow in their astonishing, groundbreaking artistic wakes. Louis Armstrong had it, Elvis, Ella Fitzgerald, and Frank Sinatra all left an indelible and unparalleled impact on their art. Another name that belongs on that list, whose influence and body of work will be revered as one of the human race's greatest ever achievements, is the lady whose life and recordings we now celebrate in this series. Welcome to Aretha Franklin in a Lifetime.
Don't play that song for me.
Aretha's story is different from any other so-called soul singer because it was her who really defined the genre. There have been many singers who sang with soul prior to the world hearing her first recordings, but until Aretha, no one was really referred to as a soul singer. Aretha's tonality, her vocal sound, and her sense of timing and phrasing was something she was born with, but any raw talent needs nurturing and a sense of discipline installing. There's no point in being gifted at sport if you don't know your chosen sport's rules. And equally, if you're a musician or singer, you do need an understanding of the structure and context to be able to perform with others, especially those who are perhaps not as naturally gifted and yet still play an absolutely crucial role in music. Now, that structure and musical technique for Aretha came from church music. There's more influence in soul music from gospel than there is, say, of blues or any other kind of music. There may be variations on a theme, but the blues is a rigid set 12-bar sequence, whereas gospel music has many different patterns and chord sequences. From the very start, Aretha's childhood spent around her father's religious gatherings are evident. Even on her very first commercial releases, when she was just 18, she was singing the great standards several years before we heard any of her breakthrough commercial hits.
It ain't necessarily so.
liable to read in the Bible. It ain't necessarily so. Now little David was small, but oh my. Yes, David was small, but oh my. He fought big Goliath, who lay down and died. Yes, David was small, but oh my. Have you ever heard about Jonah? He lived in a well. Fishes after money. Yes, Jonah, he lived in a whale. To get into heaven, don't snap for a seven. Live clean and don't have no fault. Now take me, yeah, I take that gospel whenever it's possible. But with a little grain of salt. Methuselah lived 900 years. Methuselah lived 900 years. But tell me, who calls that living when no gal is given to no man? What's 900 years? That's why I say that. It ain't necessarily. It ain't no necessarily. It ain't necessarily so.
That version of George and Ira Gershwin's classic is so unlike any version of that song up until that point. Peggy Lee, Ella and Lena Horne had all recorded that song the year prior to Aretha, and although they are fabulous versions, their sounds and phrasings are absolutely nothing like Aretha's. Up until that point, gospel singers like Mahalia Jackson or Sister Rosetta Tharpe hadn't really crossed over to other repertoires. They sang gospel music. Encouraged by her teenage friends Lou Rawls and Sam Cooke, Aretha made the decision to musically branch out, not just into different song repertoires, but eventually to also have a hand in writing and arranging the music. Aretha's first release for Columbia Records didn't quite sound as in the pocket as her later recordings. She'd been paired up with Ray Bryant, a brilliant jazz pianist, but listening to these tracks, truth be told, the jazz musicians on the session sound like they don't quite know how to accompany Aretha. But then again, why should they? She was a total original. Just as an example, have a listen to this. The band sounds almost musically uncomfortable around her. It just doesn't sit quite comfortably.
If you ever need me, you know where to call me. And if you ever want me, you know where to write me. But you never call me, and no, you never write me. So who needs you?
Now with that in your ears, listen to this. Same recording session, same musicians, but the material is more familiar to the musicians backing Aretha, and the recording doesn't depend on Aretha's driving piano style.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of. Once in a lullaby, somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and
those dreams that you dare to dream. They really do come true. Someday I wish upon a star, and I'll wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Oh yes, where troubles melt like lemon drops, way above the chimney tops. That's where you find me. Gonna be so
recorded in 1961, that's from Aretha's debut album, which didn't really excite too many people, which is perhaps not surprising. She still hadn't really been captured in a studio setting. But the following spring, we see the beginning of a change. Producer John Hammond pairs her up with the kind of musical arranger that was perhaps lacking at the recording sessions for the first album, and brings in the great Richard West. Now, pretty much all the arrangements are now built around Aretha's often overlooked but vital piano style, and the results are instant. There's an urgency and smooth grind to the rhythm section that was lacking in some of the tracks we've just heard. Now, with more emphasis on the piano and the accompanying musicians who are also beginning to feel their way with her, it was just beginning to come together.
Your baby with a Dixie melody. When you croon, croon a tune from the heart of Dixie. And just hang my crate, man and I, right on that Mason Dixie line. And swing it from Virginia to Tennessee. With all the heart that's in ya, weep no more, my lady. Sing the song for me. Hey, little Joe, just as though you had me on your knee. A million baby kisses I'm gonna deliver the minute that you sing that Swan River. Rock-a-bye, your rock-a-bye baby with a Dixie melody. Oh, weep no more, my fair lady. Why don't you sing a song for me? Hey, little Joe, just as though you had me right down. A million baby kisses I said I'm gonna deliver the minute that I'm gonna deliver the minute that you sing that. Oh, Swan River, rock-a-bye, your rock-a-bye baby with a Dixie melody.
From Aretha's second album, and here's another from those sessions. And as we listen to the album, we can literally hear Aretha and the musicians loosen up and fit better and better with each other. About halfway through this, just after the trumpet solo, we can hear the shackles begin to loosen as Aretha, don't forget, still barely out of her teens, begins to establish a style all of her own, previously unheard in the jazz world.
You got to accent to aid the positive and eliminate the negative and latch on to the affirmative, but don't mess with Mr. In Between. Ah, you got to spread joy up to the maximum and bring gloom down to the minimum and have faith, a pandemonium liable to walk up on the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Johnny in the well, Noah in the ark. What did they do just when everything looked so dark? Man, they said we've got to accent to aid the positive and eliminate the negative and hang on to that affirmative, but don't mess with Mr. In Between. Jonah in the well, Noah in the ark. Tell me, what did they do just when everything looked so dark? Man, they said we've got to accent, oh, to weigh the positive and eliminate the negative and hang on to that affirmative, but don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, no, no.
From 1962's The Electrifying Aretha, where we can really hear her gospel stylings blending with the material from the Great American Songbook. Now, she continued this path with the next album, and it contains three incredible ballads where, for the first time, we can hear classic Aretha vocal stylings. She sounds more confident, relaxed, and assured. Now, I have thought about the merits of including all three ballads for you. I'm not so sure I'd be allowed to play three slow tracks like this at some radio stations, but, well, I guess this is why I set up LG Radio, to share with you my passion for amazing recordings. And these ones are just too good to skip over, so get ready to relax. First up is this glorious version of a song we associate with Otis Redding, but it had actually started out as a hit for Bing Crosby back in 1933. Aretha singing it, aged just 20, is something else.
I may get weary. Women do get weary. Wearing the same shabby dress. But to one who's weary, try a little tenderness. Oh, I may be waiting, just anticipating all of the things I may never possess. But while I'm waiting, try a little tenderness. Now, but I want to say that I've had my griefs, oh, and I've had my cares, and just a good word, soft and gentle, makes it
makes it easier, easier to bear. So, so easy. Try a little. Oh, try a little tenderness. Tender, tender, tenderness.
Phenomenal. And here's the next incredible ballad I've chosen for you from this album.
Look for the silver lining when every cloud appears in the blue. Remember, somewhere the sun is still shining, and so the right thing to do is make it shine for you. Oh. Heart full of joy and gladness will always vanish. Sadness and strife. So try to find the sunny side of life. So always look for the silver lining and try the sunny side of life.
Look for the silver lining. Now, the third and final ballad from this extraordinary album is one of the great romantic songs written by Irving Berlin in 1932. It's the recording that shows us now the perfect blend of Aretha's gospel stylings and the great show tunes is fully formed.
How much do I love you? Oh, I tell you no lie. How deep is the ocean? Far
far will I travel just to be where you are? Oh, can anyone tell me how far is the journey from here to a star? Oh, oh, right now. And if I ever lost you, ever lost you, tell me how much would I cry? Deep is the ocean. How high is the sky? Oh, yeah.
Just extraordinary. Now, to finish up this episode, here's the last track on her second album, and it's almost like a different singer from what we heard on the uncomfortable-sounding recordings at the start of this episode. She's arrived, assured, in total control, exhibiting her own style, beginning to define her own genre. It's exciting and pure exuberance.
The sky is blue, and the high above, the moon is new, and so is love. Shaking heart of mine, heart of mine, is singing, oh, lover, come on back to me, yeah. Ah, yeah. You came at last, love had its day, but that day is past, and you've gone away. Seek a heart of mine is singing, lover, come on back to me, yeah. I remember every little thing you used to do. I get so, oh, so lonely. Every road I walk along with you. No wonder, no wonder I get so, so lonely. Sky is blue and high, high above. Moon is new and so is love, yeah. And while I'm waiting here, this heart of mine is singing, ooh, lover, come on back to me, yeah. So, so lonely. Every road I walk along with you. No wonder, no wonder I get so, so lonely. The sky is blue and high above. Moon is new and so is love, yeah. And while I'm waiting here, this heart of mine is singing, lover, come back to me.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Aretha Franklin. That concludes our very first episode of In a Lifetime, where we're enjoying the music of Aretha Franklin. Thanks very much for tuning in. And don't forget, check the website out so you can find out when the next installment of In a Lifetime with Aretha Franklin is on. This is LGRadio.online. Thanks for listening.